This is Twit.
They released a brand new iPhone SE. Again, processor new. Nothing we didn't know about it. You've reviewed it, Renee. Did you get it early, or have you just had it for a week?
There have not been any reviews yet. I just got to talk to Apple about it on release day and write up my thoughts.
Nice. So what did you think?
I really like it. I think it's very similar to the original. I know before Lori hits me, it's not the same size as the original, but it's very similar in spirit to the original. And that is, like, it takes a classic familiar form factor that some segment of the market really, really likes, including things like the home button and lock and touch ID for people who aren't as comfortable navigating without the home button. It's their escape hatch, or just don't like the idea of face ID, especially now that we're all wearing masks. And then puts Apple's latest processor in, a much better camera, and puts that $399 price tag on. So it sort of hits both the classic iPhone market, the I want the latest specs market, and the I'm not paying more than $400 for a day. iPhone market, and that's a much bigger market than you get just by making the previous iPhone $100 cheaper every year.
The XR was very, very popular. Was the iPhone SE, the original, more popular than that even?
It was more popular than Apple thought.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm talking on my iPhone SE right now.
Oh, look how small
it's
the real one. It's so cute.
It's the Richard Donner Superman SE.
It looks like an iPhone 5, but it feels like an iPhone, what, 7, 8?
Yeah, well, no, it's actually probably more like an iPhone 6S, something like that.
It does match your hair, I have to say. It's that rose gold is looking very nice on you.
Yeah. Look at how cute it is.
So you knew, though, they weren't going to do a 4-inch phone, right?
Yeah. I gave up on that hope a long time ago.
Yeah. I was just going to say before that sorry, I totally lost my train of thought. I apologize.
I'm sorry, I changed the subject.
They said they couldn't do a 4-inch phone.
No, yeah, but before that, I lost it. It's like the 4-inch phone, we know, because they've stopped developing iOS at that screen size. And if you pull up the keyboard in landscape mode, you basically have a field and a keyboard. There's no more screen anymore. And then the processors, the analogy I used is, if you move into a bigger apartment, you start accumulating things, and then it's really hard to go back to a smaller apartment. And this is the same. They got used to having that big battery, which is much better at handling power spikes, and that bigger thermal envelope, which is much better for sustained processor performance. And they just grew into that space, and in order to go back into the smaller space, they'd have to make a smaller, like a processor that was better at smaller thermal envelopes and not as power hungry. And that's a new processor, and you can't charge $400 for that.
Now that you put it that way, I don't know how we survived with the iPhone 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
We were simpler people, Leo. It was a simpler time. We didn't have TikTok and Pokemon Go, and we didn't have HDR.
Yeah.
We didn't have Disney Plus.
Lori,
is it
a deal breaker for you that they don't have a small phone?
No. So here's what I think. Renee is dead on that this, in spirit, is the same thing that the original iPhone SE was. And here's why. For me, when the iPhone SE came out, it was years that they had made the larger phone that I didn't like and I didn't want. And I stuck with my iPhone 5S. I wanted a phone that was that size, but I wanted, you know, an upgrade to the internals. I wanted to be faster and have all the new technology, Apple Pay and all that stuff. So the SE comes out. I got what I wanted. It's not top of the line. There's a couple of little things where they're, you know, saving money.
Only one camera.
Right.
Lens.
But I got my iPhone. I got my 4-inch iPhone. So today, for all those people out there that refuse to upgrade to an iPhone with Face ID, this is the same thing. This is their gift. This is Apple's gift to the holdouts that want Touch ID. Mm-hmm. It's inexpensive. It has super fast internals. There's a little bit of a budget making happening by, you know, only one camera, though it has more advanced extended dynamic range. So it's actually more advanced than the iPhone XR camera in terms of its digital processing. But it's a compromise. So Apple is saying, we get it. You don't want Face ID. Here's an updated Touch ID phone that meets as many standards as we can give you while still keeping the price really low. So for everybody who was on an iPhone 8, 7, 6, they didn't want to move. They didn't want Face ID. This is perfect for them.
As Adam Inkst says in his article about the size of the low-cost iPhone SE disappointing, sorry, Apple hates you and your tiny hands. and your small purses and pockets.
I mean, every vendor does. I don't know anybody except that Palm license by TCL that's been anywhere near small lately.
I kept hoping that there was going to be this new like retro trend where companies would start making smaller phones out of nowhere, but that hasn't happened yet.
It's the Apple Watch. That's the small phone now.
Yeah.
There is a rumor that there's an iPhone SE Plus, although according to Mac Rumors today, that will be delayed because of COVID. But there should be an iPhone SE Minus.
The 12 is going to be smaller. Like the rumor is that the baseline 12, they'll be the same size as now. The I forget what the current is, 6 point something, whatever screen, that there'll be a one that is smaller than the iPad, than the iPhone Pro. So it will be smaller than what you have now, but it will not be SE size.
This is the problem, Lori, and I'm sympathetic because Renee and I and Andy, I suspect, and almost everybody else in the world, mostly guys with big hands, don't get it. We say, well, this doesn't feel big. Your phone feels really small.
Oh, I totally get it.
You get it?
Yeah, it's one of those things where there's sexism inherent in the design of hardware that's kind of hard to ignore. That when you, if you,
it's not just women who want small phones.
Well, it's, yeah, well, it's also
it's not about gender for sure.
Right. Well, not only that, but it's there. But there is a difference in the size of pockets in different kinds of clothing. I would like to have the option of having a grab it and go style phone in addition to like the big screen phone that I take for if I'm going to be like on a bus or on a train for an hour. I really wish it were easier to do now that we have digital eSIMs to maybe via NFC to simply have an app on two different phones and simply say, please transfer my eSIM from this phone to this phone. And then, yeah, exactly, because when I'm in New York for like 3 or 4 days, that's when, like, I pull out my physical SIM out of, like, my normal-size phone and put it into even, like, an older, like, XL-size phone because I'm going to need the extra screen real estate. But if I could just simply, again, have something that's pocket-size, even like a candy bar-style phone, like this, you know, the size of this, and, again, just do a tap. And now when I'm going to the theater, when I really all I need this for is to get an emergency message, and mostly it's going to be turned off, that would be such a game changer and would really open up the market for sub-$100 phones.
Doesn't it speak a little bit, though, to the fact that people aren't using these for phones anymore?
Well, no, but there's also a thing where we voted with our wallets. Like, we bought bigger and bigger phones. Yeah. Samsung put out the Note. We made fun of them, and then we bought a ton of them. And even Apple, who's like, okay, we'll go to four. Okay, fine. Here's your 5-inch phone. And there's just – and a lot of – I don't want to be that jerk, but there's a lot of places in the world where phones are still the primary computer, maybe the only computer for people. And people with really tiny hands want really enormous phones because it's the only screen that they have and they need to do their entire
lives on it. Yeah, when my pocket's too small for my phone, I get mad at the pocket, not the phone.
Well, but if people wanted smaller phones, they wouldn't be making them. Like that's like these companies want money. If we told them in large numbers, we really prefer buying small phones, the market would be flooded with
Lori,
small phones.
Do you still make phone calls a lot?
No, I actually, you know, I switched over to when the iPhone 10 came out, I switched over because I needed to get an updated phone. So I still have the SE. I carry it around with me. It's my beta tester.
It's not even,
but
your
I
main,
don't use it regularly.
Oh,
right. It's not. Cause
so
it's
you don't
just,
feel
it's
so
too,
strongly about this that you're not,
not anymore.
Carry a
it was,
one.
It was probably about a year ago when there was still rumors of this iPhone SE 2, but we were getting a lot of information that it absolutely wasn't going to be a 4-inch iPhone, that I was like, okay, Apple's never going to put out a 4-inch iPhone that has the kind of technological speeds that I need for today's technology.
That's a shame, right? I mean,
it is. And so I was going to say, like, to what everyone's saying, it's not about the size of our hands. It's not about... Although holding it in one hand, it's very nice when you have small hands. The way I think of a mobile phone, the way I think of a phone that I take outside with me is, what do I use it for? I use it to text message. Sometimes I use it to use the maps. My face isn't in front of my phone while I'm wandering around in the world.
Right.
Most people tend to be that way. There are some people whose, you know, faces in their phone most of the time, even outside. But a lot of us, it's just for checking in. And I have an iPad when I need a larger screen but want the mobile experience. I have a computer when I want a full computer experience, when I want to watch something on a bigger screen or something like that. So that's really what it's about. There's a lot of us who, not a lot of us, there's a small portion of us who want a phone, an iPhone that gives us everything we want in an iPhone, but we don't need to use it all. I don't need to watch something on that tiny 4-inch screen. It's there if I want it, but I don't need to. What I need is something that I can text message on, I can use the maps for. But what Renee is saying is also true, which is that I have the luxury of having three different screen sizes in my life. There's a lot of people out there for who the only screen they have is a mobile phone or mobile device of some kind. So they want, they deserve a larger screen. Should we backtrack to a 4-inch screen just because I want an extra screen? Moving forward, allowing people to have the computer experience on a phone makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I just wish that people had the option. That's all I have to say. I mean, I'm very, very aware through the years that there are lots of different ideas that I advocate because I think that they're good, solid ideas. But that's the perspective of me who spends all day thinking about this stuff. It's one thing to say, gee, wouldn't it be great if phones were modular and you could just upgrade the camera without having to upgrade everything else? But that, again, that's a great science fiction idea, but it's nowhere near practical and it's nowhere near desirable in a world where you can upgrade a whole phone for probably only 30% more than would cost to replace that camera module. But all I come back to is that I really do wish that if people wanted a smaller size phone, they could. It's a vicious cycle. It's very, very true that if people were absolutely adamant that there needs to be a smaller sized phone, everybody would be on it. And it would be easy to find in all kinds of product lines. Samsung is really the only company you can turn to, but that's only because they will make every single size possible because they can.
Quarter-inch increments.
but nonetheless, you get into a situation where now the reason why people can't buy them is simply because they're not being offered, as opposed to there's been an emphatic statement that nobody wants them.
This is the problem and the burden that is unique to Apple, because Apple is the only company that makes its hardware. So it's the same problem we've had with complaints of the keyboards on the Macs. It can't make a product for every group. If people want an iPhone, it's Apple's way or the highway. And I think that's too bad, but I think it's the nature of it. I wish Android were a little bit more... I am having a hard time these days recommending Android just because of the security issues. I wish Android were a little bit better, because there are small Android phones. There's lots of them. But if you want an iPhone, you got to buy whatever Apple makes, period, regardless of their reasons. That's what they make.
Yeah.
And that's
and
kind
I think
of a
people want small Android phones, too. Like you hear them complaining sometimes that everything comes in like 8-inch platters.
Yeah. No, I think there's probably a large plurality of people who want small phones, and they're underserved. Period.
Yeah. And you can find them. I have the smallest phone I have is something I bought on Kickstarter that is about literally the size of a candy bar, almost the size of a fun size candy bar, and it runs a version of Android that accesses the Google Play Store, so it'll get all modern apps. I bought it for like $120, chiefly just to have a really, really good an iPod Touch that would be about the size of an iPod Nano, being able to get all my music apps, all my podcast apps, everything that works with Google Play. So it's out there, but it's hard to find. And as usual, most people are just looking to buy phones that are at the phone store, at least in the United States. Otherwise, you have to go to Alibaba. You have to go to third-party places. Nokia has experimented with bringing back some of the original company's classic designs. They had the classic banana phone a couple years ago that was actually running Android, but in a flip phone form factor. So they're out there. People just need to be informed that if you really, really, this is how cruel it gets. You could say, well, if you really, really, if you just made a really great angry argument about wanting a phone with a 2.5-inch screen, here is one. It runs a version of Android that's 2 years old. It's not made to the fit and function that you expect from Apple or for Samsung or from Google, and you have to wait a month for it to arrive from straight from Hong Kong. Do you really want it now?
I can beat your candy bar phone. I bought this. I don't know why. This is a duplicate
of the
Nokia. It's
gorgeous, Leo. That's why.
It's so cute. I just think it's the cutest thing ever.
That's the phone Deadpool would use.
It's the L8 Star BM10, world's smallest phone, 2-in-1 mini phone, unlocked GSM with hands-free Bluetooth dialer, Bluetooth headphone,
it's
dual SIM card.
SIM card in a jacket.
Yeah, and it doesn't run Android, but it does. I think Snake was on it. I don't know. Low radiation.
That's how cute it is.
Isn't it cute? It's got a removable battery, I have to say.
That's a smuggler's phone.
Yeah, but I think this is kind of my point, is this is just a phone, a telephone. You can't really do anything else with it. There's no data on it. And that's one of the reasons I think we don't see small phones anymore, because if you want a computer, you do want a bigger screen. When you gave that analogy, Andy, of, oh, I want to take a littler phone out so I can go to the opera, all you can do with that is you're not going to post to Instagram or tweet with it. It's a phone.
Yeah. No, you're right. The limiting factor, I think, of hardware design isn't so much the keyboard. I think it's just, what is the smallest component you can adequately do Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or whatever your generation social media app is? Exactly. What's the smallest screen that you can type on and see and actually fit a camera on? Because that really, every phone is, I think, 75% a container that you pour one of three very, very popular multi-platform apps into.
So I think also the most important point with the new iPhone SE is the price point. And in a way, Marcus Brownlee crystallized this with his tweet. We live in a world where a brand new iPhone is undercutting every single phone OnePlus released this year in price. OnePlus used to be... The whole point of OnePlus was a flagship phone at a feature phone price, and that's not their
business. But then every year
anymore.
We complained they didn't have wireless charging. We complained they didn't have this or that.
Right?
And so they added what we complained about, and now it's too expensive.
Now it's $1,000 again. Yeah.
Humans are terrible.
So I'm sure Apple listens to the market. But again, Apple is in a unique position where they make everything, so they can't make any. They can't make everything.
They can't make everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and they have a kind of a responsibility to listen to the market. If there's a significant plurality that wants a 4.7 inch phone, I think they would have made it, right? Or no?
Yeah. Go ahead. I think it really does. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Laurie. I'm sorry.
When you say go ahead, let her go ahead. Okay.
I think that Apple would have continued making a 4-inch iPhone if they could have fit the kind of technological advancements into it. I think there are enough people who want the 4-inch iPhone. They would have brought it back. They just can't fit everything in there. And people don't want a less good iPhone. They want an iPhone that meets today's technological standards that's also only 4 inches, and they can't do both. So that's why we don't have a 4-inch iPhone today.
Right. There is some jealousy among the Android users. Android Central, which is an Android fan blog, the cheapest iPhone, kind of a little tear was coming down their cheek when they wrote this headline. The cheapest iPhone has a more powerful processor than the most expensive Android phone. I don't know if it's exactly true that the A13 Bionic is faster than the 865, is it?
Yep.
In what way? In benchmarks?
It depends on Qualcomm. They got caught flat-footed by the whole 64-bit thing. That was years ago. But they're a silicon merchant, and they make money off chips. Apple doesn't. So it behooves them to keep technologies on the market as long as possible. It's the same reason Apple's making this in an iPhone 8 body. That's all paid off. The more that they can sell that's already paid off, the higher their profit margins go. So they would have let 32-bit ride for a couple more years still, and they've been forced to catch up. And then suddenly there's a neural engine, and then suddenly there's all these accelerators, and they're doing well. They're beginning to catch up. But in terms of just single core performance and sheer rendering power, Apple's hitting levels. I think they're going to be still 2 years before, and again, that it takes a lot of money. Apple's got iPhone money. It takes a lot of money to build out silicon like that. Yeah. It's why they don't make watch silicon anymore, because they literally can't. They would like to, but they literally can't afford to do it because they don't have an Apple Watch style product funding it.
Do you have an 865 based phone? Because I'm curious.
I have the Pixel 4, which I think is last year's.
Yeah, it's not the 865. Last year's
phone.
Yeah, it's 855. So That's my question. Is it really slower? And by the way, I don't think the Pixel 5 will not be using the 865 because it's too expensive.
It's so different choices, right? Like the choices Google and Apple makes are so, like they chose the best camera, but not the best processor. Apple chose the best processor, but not the best camera. It's just, I find it fascinating.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's always part of the trade-off. I don't know if it's fair, though, to say,
Anantec. Anantec does things to chips that are almost unholy.
Yeah, but it's benchmarking, right?
Anantec benchmarking is not just like downloading and running Geekbench. It's like putting it through every test conceivable by man or demon. And, you know, and like Andre at Anantec will tell you what those things are capable of. And it's also like you put it into apps. Like there's apps like LumaFusion and things, or the people who make the multi-camera thing. And they'll just flat out tell you that they can't make the same kind of apps. And that's a direct correlation to what you can pull out of the silicon.
Filmic Pro, yeah.
Yeah. We are talking about really high-end stuff, though. It comes down to like what's the day-to-day operations that you're going to come through on a device. And as we've been saying all the time, it really is about trade-offs. How much bang for the buck can you actually deliver? How much is of the engineering that you put into this device are the consumers really going to notice? And that's why one of the things that really impressed me the most about the new iPhone is such a smart set of choices that there are only two things that are non-negotiable. There are three things that are non-negotiable. You have to have a screen of a certain size. You have to have biometric unlocking at this point, and you have to have maximize the processing power of the platform, because otherwise you really are going to create two different classes of citizens for the App Store. The people who can run that really cool version of Animal Crossing or that really cool AR game that all your friends are playing, and the people who kind of really can't run it because it'll either kill the battery or they won't get the same sort of performance they will in everything else. So they sacrificed. They said that we're not going to have like the highest tech screen. We're going to drop back to an actual manual clicky button for the home screen. We're going to try to do as many tricks with an old camera as we can with the new processor, but we are not going to compromise on the speed and the actual interaction with this device. That's the one thing you really can't engineer around. If the scrolling is slow, if the thing locks up because some web page, even on a mobile browser, is acting frisky, and if you can't run whatever app you're promoting in the keynote, whatever app you're promoting in those wonderful YouTube commercials, then you're not delivering that kind of value. This is a hell of a phone for $400.
Yeah.